the Lord doesn't come back, the trumpet doesn't sound before we leave. There'll come a time in your life, whatever you're doing on that day, that will be interrupted by death, what we refer to as death, what most Christians should refer to as graduation day. Amen? Because this old flesh will set that spirit free, and we'll go back to God. Go to be in the presence of the Lord. Now, I'm looking forward to that day. I don't know about you. I'm excited about what God is doing in this day. I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, and you know, as I study the Word of God, I have found out a few things over the years and that kind of excites me. Number one, in the book of Psalms, I believe it's chapter 24, the Bible said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So I don't get too excited about what goes on in this earth because it belongs to God. In the book of Psalms also, the Bible teaches us that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Down in Texas, Judy and I just went down to Texas to be with our daughter a couple of 3 weeks ago, something like that. And down in Texas, they count cattle by the head. The rancher will say, well, I got 100 head or 200 head out here on this acreage. But God counts them by the thousands of hills. That's a little bit bigger operation. Amen? So God is in control, and God has the ability to handle this thing. It's all His. Guess what? You and I are His. Amen? So with all that in mind, we have to understand that when Jesus spoke the parable and He said, the kingdom of God is like a man that had servants, and he left his belongings or all that he had in the trust of his servants, and he went on a far journey. That's actually what the Lord has done. He owns all of this, and He's left it in our charge, and He's gone back to sit down at the right hand of the Father. But one of these days He's going to come back, and you and I are going to have to give an account for what we did with what God left us. Amen? In Matthew chapter 13, 3 verses of Scripture, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And a great multitude were gathered together unto Him, so that He went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Our Father, as we come to You this morning, I thank You for the sweet Holy Spirit of God that's present in this place today. I thank You for the precious anointing, Lord, that I have already felt here this morning. I ask You now, as we look into Your blessed Word, that You would have Your way in every heart and in every life. You know the needs that are present in our service this morning. And I ask You, Father, not one person leave this place with a need unmet. I pray, God, that You would touch our hearts and stir us all together. Father, touch those that need a touch. Heal those that need healing. Lord, deliver those that are in need of deliverance. And we'll not fail to slip off somewhere and give You the honor, the glory, and the praise. For it's in Jesus' blessed name that we ask it. Amen and amen. Matthew 13 and 3 says, and He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And I see here a man that had a job to do, and not unlike you and I, if God owns this place, and He left us in charge of it and left us to tend it and to take care of it, we have a job to do. And that job is sowing, amen? So if we go forth to sow, we are like the sower that Jesus is talking about. His job was to gain a crop, and our job is to gain a crop. The Lord told us, He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So basically, we are sowers that are going forth to preach the gospel. So I came across a familiar phrase this week that says, what a difference a day makes. And as we enter this year, 2008, it's an exciting time, and I'm excited about this year because the number 8 represents new beginnings. The number 8 implies new birth or resurrection of old things. So I believe this year will bring for many of you and for me and for many other people that we know a renewal of our dreams and visions and plans. Things that you thought were gone, things that you thought were hopeless because you had passed that time and that period when God was going to bless you with them, those things are about to be resurrected in your life. Amen? And I believe the main responsibility that you and I have is to sow the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to our family and to our friends. But I believe even more important than that, that we get down to the basics this morning, it's more important that we sow it in our own families. That's the important thing. Amen? God instituted the family. How many of you realize that it was God's idea for a man to marry a woman, them to reproduce and to grow children and to have children and raise them up? So, for some of you this year, you're going to start 2008 just going through what you've always gone through, and it's going to seem like to you that 2007 and 2006 and 2005 have just been extended, although the number has changed. But all of a sudden, one of these days you're going to wake up and say, what a difference a day makes. I want to share some statistics with you this morning that I found that I believe you are going to see change in the year 2008, because I am excited about the fact that I believe God's doing something in the family. And I believe if God does something in the family, the person He's going to have to touch first is the father that's in the family. How many of you realize God instituted fatherhood? It's easy to become a father. It's a lot harder to become a dad. Amen? These statistics go something like this. 85% of the children with behavioral or disorder problems are from fatherless homes. 71% of high school dropouts are from, guess what, fatherless homes. We have, over the last few years, had a situation where the father has been absent from the home for whatever reason. And that wasn't God's plan, and what I'm sharing with you now is the results of the father not being present in the home. 70% of teenage pregnancies are from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists are from fatherless homes. 75% of teen patients in drug abuse centers. 70% of juveniles in correctional institutions. 85% of youth in prisons. And 63% of youth suicide are by children who are in or come from a home where the father is absent. He's not present. So if we look at this, we must admit one of the things that must be restored in the year of 2008 is the family. We need families where fathers and mothers are present in the same room and in the same house, raising the family that God instituted. So, as a father, you are a sower as well. When you become a father, you go out to sow. You set out to sow. You plan to sow. Because God is going to give you children, and those children have to be reared, and you become a sower, basically, to those children. One of the things that has to be restored is the family. I believe the Scripture teaches us that the responsibility for the family rests squarely on the shoulders of guess who? That father that's not present in the home. Like I said, it's easy to become a father. It's a little harder to become a dad. Ephesians 6 and 4 says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Let's take the phrase, what a difference a day makes, and change one letter in the word day, the letter Y, to another D. And let's say it like this, what a difference a dad makes. Amen. It takes a dad in a home to raise children. And folk, if this America, if this nation, if our churches, if our government, if our constitution, if any of it is going to stand, we have to see the family restored. It has to come back. to what God intended it to be. What a difference a dad makes. Our text says a sower went out to sow, or went forth to sow. And a man who is a father is a sower. He must also know what he sows into his family he's going to reap. An absentee father, a father that's not present in the family and not present in the home, is going to reap the same thing that he's sowing. He's going to reap children that are going to and fro, and they're lost and misdirected and misguided, and they go in all directions, and thus the statistics I just read to you. Galatians 6:8 said, "He that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." So I say to you fathers this morning, if you're going to be a dad, your marriage is going to have to take some plowing. Amen. How many of you realize that before a sower can sow seed, he's got to prepare the soil? He's got to plow up the ground. Amen. He's got to make preparation. Now, all too often, we have the tendency to want, as men, to take charge and take control and have everybody just be obedient to us and do what we say and not what we do. But that's not the way God planned it. Your marriage takes some work. If you're going to be a dad and not be a father, just a father, you're going to be a sower. It's going to take some work in your family. Your marriage is going to take some plowing and work. I'm preaching better than y'all are amening. Amen. The children that come into that marriage situation are going to need some nurturing and some culturing. A sower sows seed into the ground. So a father that becomes a dad is a father that prepares his family to receive the seed of the Word of God, and he sows the Word of God into his children and into his family, and he takes charge of that family, and he leads that family. He doesn't dominate, but he leads that family toward God. So a sower must sow. If a father is going to be a dad, his mind and his attitude will need to feel the bite of the plow as well. His heart needs to be prepared to receive the Word of God so that he can sow the Word of God into his family. See, the family needs the seed planted, but it also needs it tended and irrigated and weeded and taken care of as the fruit grows. And whatever you sow in those children and in that family, Dad, that's exactly what you're going to reap. See, there's some pain involved in the planning process of your life. Father, if you would be a dad this morning, I'm just going to have to go ahead and tell you that you're going to get weary plowing. Amen? If you're out in the field plowing, dust is going to get in your eyes and noise is going to fill your ears and sweat's going to run down your face. Being a family and being a dad and being a leader in your family situation is a little bit of work. It doesn't just work by itself. So if you're going to sow what God wants you to sow into your family, there's going to be blisters that's going to hurt your hands, and your plow is going to get broke, and your equipment's going to fall down, and you're going to have to stand in the gap and make up the hedge and make sure that your family is protected. Oh, but what a difference a dad makes. The Scripture tells us, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Now, I realize in this day in which we live, there's many families that don't consist of a mom and a dad. They're one-parent families, and that's one of the problems that we have because of absentee fatherism. All the statistics that I just gave you have proven to be true. We have moms who are trying to fulfill both mom and dad, and vice versa. There are dads that have custody of their children where the mother has left and gone her way. But dads occupy a special place in the family. The current media that we watch, the TV and the radio, portrays dads in this day and age in which we live as ignorant and clueless and idiots. who are out of touch with their families. But I want to talk about what impact a dad really has on his family. For a father to be a dad, he must sow into his family the things of God. Amen? They must be important to him first and to his family second. They must be important enough to him till he puts other things behind him in the second place, and he sows into his family the things of God. What a difference a dad makes. Let me say, there's more to salvation than just knowing about God. Most all dads will acknowledge that there is a God and they know about Him, but there's more to this than just knowing about Him. I'm talking about having relationship with Him. You can quote every verse in the Bible, but if you don't have relationship with God, if you don't have communion with God Almighty, those verses profit you nothing. A real dad won't sing at church and then go curse on the job. A real dad won't ignore his kids and then expect God to listen to him. A real dad puts his children and his family in a place of prominence and priority, and he teaches them the things of God. See, I believe a real dad will teach his kids to pray before he teaches them to play. Let me repeat that one. A real dad will teach his kids to pray before he teaches them to play. And you and I know, as we watch this nation unfold, that the emphasis on sports events is so important that mom and dad will sacrifice everything that they have to see little junior or the little girls get into sports. Folk, we need to quit worrying about sports and start teaching our children about God. Amen. We need to understand that it's more important that they learn about their eternal destiny and their eternal situation and the fact that they're living in a world who God owns and the fact that everything here God owns and that God owns them and God wants them to serve Him. They need to hear that, not from the pulpit, but from mama and daddy. Amen. Real dad will teach his kids how to praise by example. A real dad won't drop his kids off at church. He will lead them to church. Fathers, I ask you today, what are you sowing into your children? When you started out, what was your dreams and your vision and your plan for your family? I don't think anybody went into a marriage, "Well, I think I'll live with this woman 4 or 5 years, have 2 or 3 children, and then I'll leave her and go on." I don't think that was the plan. I don't think that was the vision originally, but we have come to a point in America where we get married not till death do us part, but till something better comes along. Folk, we need to get back to some of the principles and basics of the Word of God, and we need men that'll stand up and be dads in their home and teach their children the things of God. There are 7 distinct laws of the harvest taught in the Word of God, and I want to give them to you this morning. The number one law of sowing and reaping is this: we reap the same thing we sow. Whatever you sow, that's what's going to come up. If you teach your children disrespect, if you teach your children all the wrong things, that's what you're going to get out of your children. Hello? That's a law of sowing and reaping. We reap much more than we planted. You plant a little bit of disrespect in your kids, and by the time they're grown, you're going to get a whole crop of it back. Amen? We reap in a different season than when we sow. When you sow it, everything might be going your way, but just wait. It's all going to come up in a little while. We reap in proportion to what we planted. You plant a little, it increases a little. You plant a lot, it increases a lot. These are laws that I'm giving you that works every time. we reap much more, or we reap much that we did not plant. Because when we are lax, especially with our children, and we allow them to associate with other children who are not involved and taught the things that we're trying to teach ours, they will get planting from there too. How many of you realize that it's the dad's responsibility as head of the family to see that his children are protected from the enemy and the things of the devil? Another thing you need to know is you can't do anything about last year's harvest. It's over. But you can do something about this year's harvest. Men, we have got a harvest coming in our lives and in our families and in our world. And we must see this thing through to the end. What a difference a dad makes. It's so important to stand up as a man and be the leader of the family and the man of God and teach your children the things of God. Let me say one thing this morning as I close this message. If you're here today and you have or you had a dad like the one I'm talking about, you ought to be praising the Lord for that man. You ought to be honoring God that you had a dad that was willing to take the time and put forth the effort to teach you the things of God and to nourish you and nurture you in the things of God. And if he's done gone on, you ought to be praising the Lord for him. If he's still here, you ought to let him know you appreciate what he did. Mom, if you're here this morning and you have a husband that's willing to stand up and be the man of the house and the leader of the house and take you and your children to the house of the Lord and lead you biblically the way God planned him to lead you, you ought to be on your knees praising God for that man. Because there's so many homes today that are fatherless. The father has gone on and the mom is left to raise the children, and whatever happens to her happens. We need men that'll stand up and be men. We need men in this day, right now, that'll stand up and be men of God and lead their family and teach their family the things of God and stand on the principles of God and not yield to what the world has to offer. Our text was, a sower went forth to sow. My question is this: what are you sowing in your family today? What is it that you're planting in the ground? Back up to the book of Haggai. I want to share some scripture with you. Haggai is one of the minor prophets, just two or three from the book of Matthew. So if you go to the first of Matthew and start backing up, you'll find it pretty quick. Haggai chapter 1. And you know, the fascinating part of this for me as I studied and got this message together is I've heard this over and over and over again here lately by people I just don't know. I'm working myself to death and the money just don't go far enough. The money just not there. It just doesn't seem like it goes. I can't buy groceries. I can't supply my needs and my family's needs. I want you to listen to the scripture in Haggai chapter 1. Are you there? Verse 2, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in the sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you're not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You're clothed ye, but there's none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Now why is all that happening in this day in which we live? I think that this is saying to us that we have neglected the very principles God expects us to live by. And the reason we can't survive is because the blessing of God is not on our life, and we have allowed the house of God to lay waste, and we've neglected and ignored the house of God and refused to go there and refused to serve there and refused to bring our families there, and we're out struggling and trying to get by and it's not working. Why? Verse 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and you ran every man to his own house. Folks, it's time we quit neglecting God's house with our families. Fathers, I challenge you today. Sow into your family the things of God, the seeds of God. Sow into your family what God wants your family to be. Take control of your family and lead your family. If you want your family to be what you dreamed it was going to be the man of the house. Be the godly man of the house and stand up and follow the Lord and be proud of your family and teach them the things of God. Amen? That's what this is all about. And if we are going to build a church here at Harvest Time, we're going to have to do the same thing. We're going to have to do it built on the principles of the Word of God. I'm here to say to you this morning, the bird as you come to the pen, I want this to be well understood, that I as your pastor want to teach you and ground you in the Word of God. And I'm not here to build a social club. And I'm not here to preach a social gospel. I'm here to build a work for God Almighty. And if we do that, amen, give him a hand. If we do that, we're going to have to do it God's way. We cannot neglect the house of God and God's way and God's plan and expect him to bless us. A sower went forth to sow. That's what this is all about, sowing seed, reaping a harvest. I'd like us to stand our feet this morning. As Sister Burke plays or sings this song, if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I wonder if you would be honest enough with God and with me that you'd just slip up your hand and say, preacher, I need your prayers. I'm not even saved. I don't even know this Lord that you're talking about. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, Christians praying. Are you here this morning willing to say, I don't even know the Lord? I need to be saved. I need you to pray for me. But if you're here this morning and you have known God and right now you're not where you ought to be with the Lord, you've grown cold and indifferent, you've drifted away, become disobedient to God. You're not where you ought to be with God. You're not following God the way you ought to be following him. And you need prayer this morning. I wonder if you'd just slip up your hand. Say with that uplifted hand, preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. I need your prayers. God bless you. Is there another anywhere? Is there another anywhere? Maybe you're here this morning and you just want to recommit to God. You've come to that point in your life where you realize that you're not as committed as you ought to be. And you're not doing things the way you ought to be doing them. Maybe you're a dad that's kind of neglecting your family and just kind of letting them go their own way. And you feel like it's time for you to take responsibility for your family and begin to sow into their lives the things of God. And you'd say, preacher, I need your prayers this morning. Just lift that hand up, take it down anywhere in this building right now. God bless you. Is there another? God bless you. Is there another? Is there another anywhere? Father, you've seen every hand that was raised. You know every heart. God, help us to realize as Christians that the only way that we're going to build anything that will stand the storm is to build it on the solid foundation of the Word of God. Help us to understand and to realize that the family is one of the bedrocks, Father, of the church and the Christian faith. Help us to realize and to understand today that if we build a work for you in this church, it'll have to be built on the family. And the family has to be built on Jesus Christ. Father, you saw the hands that were raised this morning. You know every heart. I ask you to touch the hearts of this people. Stir us. Draw us together as a family. And Father, allow us to to become one in you and go out and sow the seed that's needed in this community and in this neighborhood, that we might reap the harvest of souls that you desire us to reap. Father, touch those that have been touched by this message this morning. Father, I ask you now as we come to this part of the service that through the Holy Spirit of God, that you would allow each of us to be obedient, prompt us, draw us, help us to commit to what would be pleasing in your sight. Lord, we'll not fail to slip off somewhere and give you the honor and the glory and the praise for it. For it's in the lovely name of Jesus that we ask you. Amen. If you need prayer, while she sings one verse of this song, you slip out of your seat and come right now. Whatever the need, you bring it to the Lord right now.
I can't take a heart that's broken, make it over again, but I know a man who can. I can take a soul that's sensitive and make it wider than the snow, but I
others that need to be here this morning. This is Pastor LaCroix. I'd like to personally take this opportunity to thank you for listening to this recording. This message was preached at our church, Harvest Time Tabernacle in Evans, Colorado, just a few days ago. And I trust it was a blessing to your heart. I trust that you received something from it. And I want to share with you this morning that if your life is out of control, if you're not where God wants you to be, you can be. I'd like to take this opportunity also to invite you to come by and visit with us at the church. If you need a place to worship, if you're looking for a church that preaches the Word of God, we're that church. Amen. We believe in preaching what God says, and thus saith the Lord. So you come and visit with us. We have services on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and on Sunday night at 6 p.m., and we'd be glad to have you. We'd appreciate you coming by and visiting with us. If you'd like to contact us, just write us there at the church. Our address is Harvest Time Tabernacle, 3040 11th Avenue in Evans, Colorado. The zip code is 80620. And my, we'd love to hear from you. If you've got questions, we'd like to try to answer those questions for you from the Word of God. Again, this is Pastor LaCroix saying, go with God, and He will go with you.